By wishing our very own of Mordechai Zev Margalis a hearty Mazel Tov on the birth of a grandson 20 minutes ago in Seattle, Washington. Mazel Tov. While we were learning Nach, a new soldier was born to Klal Yisrael. A new member. Mazel Tov, you should have a lot of nachas from your new edition and all of your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Together with all of us. Okay, Rabbi said, let's learn some halacha. Someone yesterday called me up, 12 o'clock at night.
Oh my God.
Sent me a text.
From the Kailo?
It was 11 o'clock maybe. And he asked me a shaila. Not that I'm one of my chaverim. He's going away for Shabbos. And they're having a minyan, and he wants to know if he's allowed to make hoisafos this week.
During the laning?
During the laning.
Yeah,
so I told him, I have no idea. Let me check in with him. I made a phone call. I'm going to repeat the question. This Shabbos, let's take a step back. This Shabbos is very unique. Okay, let's take a step. There are three Sifrei Torah this Shabbos. Right. If you have in a shul three Sifrei Torah, because it's Shabbos, we have Zayin Kruim Parshas Niketz, it's Rosh Chodesh, so we lain Uviyom HaShabbos of Rosh Chodeshem, and we lain Uviyom HaShishi Nasi Levnei, who's the Yom HaShishi? Who's Shishi? I forgot, right before Ephraim is Shvi. So who's Shishi? I forgot. Whoever is Shishi, Uviyom HaShishi. It's the sixth day of Hanukkah. So we have three Sifrei Torah in honor of the three events. It's a triple header. And by the way, Rabbi said, they say, I'm not familiar with Inyanei Kabbalah, but when you take out three Sifrei Torah, it's a very special time. It's a very auspicious time to daven to Hashem for success. When they open up, even if you don't say Berich Shmei the whole year round, it's worthy that you should say Berich Shmei when they open up the Aron HaKodesh this Shabbos. That's what it says in these holy books, that when you open up the Aron HaKodesh on a Shabbos, when you are about to take out three Sifrei Torah, it's something which does not happen very often, and it's an auspicious moment, and it's worthy to take advantage, to be Mevakesh, at this time, Rachamim from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the holiness of the Torah on Shabbos, Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh, when they open up the Aron HaKodesh to Mevakesh, whatever your needs are at this moment of time. Yes?
Every time comes like this, you say, Rabbi Benjamin Yudin and Jeremy A. and says, this is a Kodak moment.
Kodak moment.
They're taking pictures in Shemayim with us now.
Down here, but this generation doesn't know what Kodak is.
Right.
Okay? You should say it's an iPhone moment, it's a selfie
Instagram
moment. Okay, you say that it's a selfie moment. They're taking pictures, whatever that means. Okay, it's a very holy moment, and just because it's holy doesn't mean anything. You have to take it, you have to activate it. It's an auspicious moment where you can take advantage to be Moshech holiness, and if you have a good rabbi, the good rabbi will stop. I once saw, there was an event where the rabbi basically opened up the Aron HaKodesh, and he said, I don't know, it was whatever he says, now it's a very special time, and even though we don't normally do this, everyone now, we're going to say the Berich Shmei very slowly. We're going to take advantage of this very holy moment. Okay, that's what a rabbi is for. A rabbi is for to point out, to highlight these special Kodak moments, and to take advantage, and even though maybe ordinarily you don't dwell upon what happens when you open up the Aron HaKodesh and take out the Sifrei Torah, this Shabbos, it's worthy to take advantage because it does not happen often and there's some significance in this moment. Now, when we take out the three Sifrei Torah, we have the rule, Tadir, Vishainai Tadir, Tadir Kaidem. What comes first? Shabbos. What comes second?
Rosh Chodesh.
What's She'enei Tadir? Very rare, once a year, Chanukah. So the order is Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, built upon the rule of Tadir, V'she'enoi Tadir, Tadir Koidem. Okay, that's a given. Now, what do we do? What is the minhag, what do we do? There are really many minhagim what to do, but let's just discuss what is common in this community, amongst us, in our community, is you lain from the first Sefer Torah, 6 aliyos, not 7. When you get to Shishi, you go to the end. Okay? You go, you lay, Shishi goes, Shishi, Shvi, you go, you run over Shvi, you go all the way to the very, very end. Then what do? You say Kaddish? No. No Kaddish. You then put the Sefer Torah of Rosh Chodesh on the Bima. You then do Hagba on the first Sefer Torah. And then you lay Uvi Yoyim HaShabbos. This week is not only really, it's really you're getting 4 concepts. It's not only 3. It's Parshas HaShavua, Shabbos, a bonus. You don't normally have Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and then Hanukkah. So you're really getting 4 different things. 3 Sifrei Torah laning 4 very different inyanim. Shabbos.
Yeah.
Ordinarily, we should learn Shabbos. We should take out a Sefer Torah for Shabbos every single week. So why don't we do it? We don't do it for different reasons. But when Shabbos falls out on Rosh Chodesh, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, so we don't just learn the Rosh Chod Sheichem, we also learn the Yom HaShabbos. Correct? On a regular Shabbos, Iker Hadin, how many Sifrei Torah should we take out? 2. We should take out for the Parashas HaShavua, and we should take out another Sefer Torah to lane the Karbon Musaf for Shabbos. Uviyoyim HaShabbos, Shnei Chavosim, B'nei Shnot, Timimim, Ushnei Yashonim. Why don't we lane that those 2 psukim? Not for now, there are different reasons. Simple is because it's only 2 psukim. That's such a good answer because you can just read something else also, whatever, but we don't do it for whatever the reason is. But when Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, and we do take out a Sefer Torah for the laning of Rosh Chodesh, once already we're laning for Rosh Chodesh, we chap a rhyme, we laning for Shabbos as well. We don't just start with the Rosh Chod Sheichem. When Rosh Chodesh falls out during the week, this Sunday is Rosh Chodesh, are you going to lane on Sunday Uviyoyim HaShabbos?
No.
You're only going to lane Uv Rosh Chod Sheichem. You're not going to lane Uv Yom HaShabbos. So therefore, when it's Shabbos, so you should do the same thing. It's Rosh Chodesh. That's why we're taking out a Sefer Torah. We should lane from Uv Rosh Chod Sheichem. There's no need to go back and lane Uv Yom HaShabbos. We don't ordinarily lane Uv Yom HaShabbos when Rosh Chodesh falls out during the week. So why are we doing it now when it falls out on Shabbos? So the answer is that since already it's Shabbos, so you might as well chap around, you lane Uv Yom HaShabbos. Okay. So we have over here on Shabbos, we have the parasha Shavua, we have Shabbos, we have Rosh Chodesh, and then we have Chanukah, the Nisim, the Nasi for the Yom HaShishi. So what do? The first Sefer Torah, we lane 6 aliyas. We then put on the Bima the second Sefer Torah. We then do Hagba Galila on the first Sefer Torah. We then lane Uv Yom HaShabbos, Uv Rosh Chod Sheichem, and then we put on, then what do? We finish? We put on the Bima the third Sefer Torah, and we say Chatzi Kaddish. And then we do Hagba Galila on the second Sefer Torah, and then we learn from the third Sefer Torah. Question. In my shul, make believe you learn in shul, in every Shabbos, they always have Hosafos. So even though we only are obligated to learn 7 aliyos, in this shul, they learn every Shabbos 10 aliyos. I actually saw on this day something very fascinating. I don't know exactly who it was. Maybe it was Rav Adi Yosef. Maybe it was another Sfarad Sharav, one of the very Gedola Yisrael, that he insisted in his shul every Shabbos to have 10 aliyos. You'll never believe why. You'll guess why from today until tomorrow, you won't get the answer why he demanded. Every single Shabbos he demanded 10 aliyos.
Money talks.
Because he was, no, nothing with money. He was afraid that some of his balabatim were not Shomer Shabbos. So if you have 10 aliyahs, hopefully 7 of those 10 people who got an aliyah
were not always
in a Hanami, but he was hoping that 10 of the 7 of the 10 were Shomrei Shabbos. Because in Shulchan Aruch in the Gemara, it says that on Shabbos you need Zayin Oilim, 7 people to come to the Torah. And someone who's not a Shomrei Shabbos doesn't count towards the Zion Oilem. But a person that's not Shomer Shabbos comes to Shul once an aliyah, you're going to embarrass him? Chas v'shalom, you're not going to embarrass him. He wants an aliyah, he has a yard site, he has an event, you're going to be makarif him. Gesundheit, hey, give him an aliyah. But just because you give him an aliyah, because you don't want to embarrass him, you want to be mechazik him, But you also have an obligation to hear that in the minyan where you daven, seven people are called to the Torah.
During the week, a person who's not Shomer Shabbos can get an aliyah then? No problem.
You can do whatever you want to do. During the week, listen, where I daven, I never ever saw them make a hayisaf. Never. They never ever would make a hayisaf, no matter what. Why? I don't know why. There are times when there's a need. There are chiyuvim, but I don't know. They don't want to make hayisafs. They don't want it to become a free for all. Once you do it 1 week, there's a logic behind it. If you're in a very big minyan, if you daven a very big minyan. And there'll always be reasons, and once it just leads to insulting people and fighting with people, you have an ironclad rule, there is no hisophis. It can potentially solve a lot of problems. Okay, now, but in some other shuls, so I daven the young Israel, I don't think I ever daven a Shabbos in the young Israel where they did not make a hisophis, at least one hisophis. Even if there's no need to make a hisophis, you make a hisophis no matter what. Acharon, they always make a hisophis. Some shuls, they make multiple hisophis. Okay, there's an unwritten rule by Gabbai. Any Gabbaiim here? Do we have a Gabbai in the house? Is there an unwritten rule that you do not to make a Hisafa before Shishi?
Right.
Yeah.
Where does it say that?
I have it in the Sefer. Like
in the Sefer? It says it somewhere?
I read it here. I used it for Shurim a couple of years ago.
Ilfist.
And it has all the legal Hosafas you're allowed to make and not before Shishi.
The Korain Chumash has all the Hosafas.
But by Rebbe's, you want to give like Revi's, like say the...
Okay, that's different.
They make two Hosafas.
No, not Hosafas. Okay, those are exceptional cases, but generally, if you want to add to the aliyos, you don't start adding until you get to Shishi. At any event, if you dive in a shul, they have multiple. So the question over here is, this week, these are the issues. There are three Sefer Torah. You're supposed to learn from the first Sefer Torah. If you do not make Hosafas, six aliyos. We make Hosafas. Couldn't we learn seven aliyos, eight aliyos, nine aliyos? This is the question. So I told him, I have no idea. I don't know why you think that I know the answer. Because I lane sometimes, so he thinks of it. I lane, I know, and it doesn't mean anything. Just because you lane doesn't mean you know how to read. Certainly, it doesn't mean you know the halacha. You know what the halacha is? So I told him, I'll look into it. But I told him, before I even looked into it, I said to him, even though it may very well be that you're allowed to do, I just wanted to let you know from experience, it's not a good idea. Practically speaking, if it's a big shul, why? Because it immediately triggered a memory. What was the memory? I was once upon a time laning in a shul, and it was a Shabbos when there were three Sifrei Torah, and I was correct. I correctly got to the sixth Aliyah. I went to the very, very end. And there was a fellow there who was an older person and appeared to be a Talmud Chacham. And while I was laning, quietly, I didn't hear him protest, but I found that afterwards, that while after I passed Shvi and I kept on going, he was complaining behind my back to the people, the Gabbayim, what is this guy doing? Why didn't he stop? Just because there are three Sifrei Torah, why is he going and gobbling up two Aliyos in one shot? He was basically making a commotion. And many people there know the halacha, but there were people there that did not know the halacha. They don't know. They know, not everyone who knows Shabbos what to do when you have three Sefer Torah that you're supposed to lane from the sixth lead to the very, very end. So he started challenging me that I'm doing the wrong thing. And basically, whoever was there quieted him. They quieted him down, and they let me finish. And I guess after that, they explained to him that I was right and he was wrong. If you could say such a thing, okay? But this was a respected person. He was an older person. He was a Talmud Chacham. He knows a lot more than me. And he was disturbed. Now, I never found out why exactly he was disturbed. Maybe where he davens, there are other customs. There's no question about it. I looked into this. There are other customs that have different minhagim. But that's not our custom. Our custom, what's common amongst us in this community, is clearly to go from the sixth Aliyah to the end. He obviously, either he was mistaken, or he came from a different community where they have a different minhag, whatever it was, and was taken aback, was surprised at what was going on, and was protesting in the middle of the laning. So I told this person who sent me this question that as a practical matter, I don't know what the halacha is. I will look into it for you and find out exactly what the halacha is. But even if it will turn out, the result will be that it is permitted to make a hosafas on this Shabbos. I'm telling you, I don't think it's a good idea because there are people in the audience who know that it's a unique Shabbos and they are expecting the Baal Kriya to do what is customary, to go from the sixth Aliyah to the very end and not stop. And if he's going to stop when it comes to Shvi, okay, if he's going to stop when it comes to Shvi, then people are going to say they're a bunch of Amaratzim. The people standing at the Bima are ignorant. They don't know what you're supposed to do on Shabbos Chanukah, which is Rosh Chodesh. So what do you need? What do you... Ma li litzara hazois? It may very well be that when the day is over, you're allowed to make hosafos, but people are going to suspect that you are ignorant. So what do you need to get involved with this? Don't make hosafos. Just do it normally. That's what I told him. Okay, yeah.
When I was in Mergers for 30 years, they always made seven.
Yeah.
Of Yom HaShabbos was Achron, and then after.
Let's say it again. On this type of situation?
Yeah, instead of going from six to the end, they said seven. And then Achron was...
They made a Hosafa.
They always said Achron.
So you say that when you died, when it was Rosh Chodesh, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, Chanukah, they did make a Hosafa.
It was seven aliyahs, like the first seven. And then you made Achron was the... Always made Achron.
I don't understand. Which Shabbos are you referring to? A regular Shabbos? This Shabbos, when there are three Sefer Torah.
Yeah, they said seven.
On the first Sefer Torah, they made seven aliyahs. And then what did they do after the seven aliyahs? They say Kaddish?
Then they made Achron.
Achron was of Yom HaShabbos, was Achron.
And then
Maaseh. Okay, so they know, in other words, they... Rabbi Sai, in the back, could we please? In other words, Majits, whenever it was three Sefer Torah, they made a Hosafa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gesunde Hate, fine. Kol HaKavod.
Because they always made Achron.
Fine, so you're fine. Okay, fine. So this is what I said. I said to him, I don't know the halach. I'm going to find out. I'll look into it. But one thing I'll tell you, I don't think it's good, practically speaking, to do it because you're going to lend yourself. You're going to become. There's going to be suspicion. They're going to suspect that you are ignorant of the halach. So what do you need to get involved with this? Unless you're saying that every single Shabbos they make a Hosafa, so then no one's coming to suspect you're doing anything wrong.
Why not just make an announcement before they lay? This is what we will be doing.
Because people don't pay attention to the announcements.
Busy talking.
They don't listen to the announcements.
According to him, that they in Shabbat they hit seven aliyot. Yes, they should say Kaddish, and also for the.
I'm gonna come the same year. Okay. I looked into this yesterday, and there's a very choshva sefer Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah KeHilchosoi. It's a thick sefer, like this, double the size of this volume. And he brings down the question, and he says it's a machloikis hapoiskim. It's machloikis hapoiskim. Now, what are these? Now, let's explain the issues. Okay, Rabbi Sai, please, come on. What are the issues? What are the issues? Why yes, why not? So the reason why you can make a Hosaf is why not? This is just like on a regular Shabbos, you make a Hosaf. So why should this Shabbos be any different? So make a Hosaf. The reason that, I found two reasons why not. One I found in the Sefer Kriya Sater Kilchasa, and the other, just by accident in preparing for today, I found in the Sefer. And they said the reason Chanukah B'tzion, for very Mitzapi, he says something entirely different. He also brings down the Shaila, and he says it entirely different. But in the same in Kriyas Hatar Kilchasa, he discussed this at great length. It's a very, very long footnote. First, he goes through all the different customs of what people do. We are brainwashed. We only do what we are familiar with, and we learn six, and then one and one. There are other customs. Maybe we'll discuss in a few moments. But the issue is, the issue is, what is the Chovas Hayom? What is the Chovas Hayom for this Shabbos? It's a unique Shabbos. It's the Parashas HaShavua, and Rosh Chodesh, and then the Maftir is Chanukah. Now here's the svara. The svara. The maftir is Chanukah. And that's it. If the maftir is Chanukah, that means that the other readings that we will do the Shabbos are the Parshas HaShavua and Rosh Chodesh. Whatever is the Ikar must be included in the seven Kiruim. There's a halacha that you have to call up seven people. So on a regular Shabbos, what do you read? The Parshas HaShavua. So you have to call up seven people from the Parshas HaShavua. Now, do the seven people have to cover the entire Parshas HaShavua? No, they don't. They don't have to cover. If you want to go lane only half of the Parshas HaShavua and have seven people are called up, that's sufficient. That's okay. You'll then do the Hashlama. You'll finish off the Parshas HaShavua with an Acharon or with five more Hosafos. But being that the Ikar Kriyas HaTorah on a regular Shabbos is to learn from the Parshas HaShavua, seven people must be called up to read from the Ikar Kriya. And that is the Parshas HaShavua. This week, what is the Ikar Parshas HaShavua? It's not the Parshas HaShavua. It's also Rosh Chodesh. It is, because since the Maftir is Chanukah, That's the way it is. So what now becomes the reading for this Shabbos? The reading for this Shabbos includes two things. The Parshas HaShavua and Rosh Chodesh. You have to have the first seven aliyos from the Ikar. If you are going to have Hoysophos and you're going to have seven aliyos from Parshas Miketz, by the time you get to Rosh Chodesh, you're already up to Hoysophos. That means you're giving, when you're going to be reading from Rosh Chodesh, the one that's been called up is not an Ikar. He is a Tofel. He's not part of the seven main people. He's an appendage. That means you've not really fulfilled the Kriya, the reading of Rosh Chodesh. The reading of Rosh Chodesh on this Shabbos becomes very significant, much, much more so than on a regular Shabbos, that is also Rosh Chodesh. When a regular Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh, you only lay in the Parshas HaShavua. Rosh Chodesh, that's the Maftir. Maftir is always a second-class citizen. That's the way it is. Maftir is the second-class citizen. Rosh Chodesh, the parish, the first seven aliyahs is the Ikar. Even when it is Rosh Chodesh is the Maftir. What are the seven aliyahs? On the Parshas HaShavua. This week is very unique. Because we have to lain Chanukah, and Chanukah becomes the Maftir, that forces Rosh Chodesh to become the main reading of Shabbos. It's an amazing Yesoid concept in just Hashkafa of what the Shabbos is all about. It's a different Kriya Satori, the Shabbos. It's an incredible concept. This Shabbos, you're not just learning Parsha Shavua. This Shabbos, you're going to be learning Parsha Shavua, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh as part of the Ikar Kriya Satora. You never ever have such a thing like this. That Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh become the Ikar, that's amazing. And it fits 100% within the theme of what Chanukah is all about. Because what did the Yevanim want to do to Klal Yisrael? They wanted to mevatel Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos. And this Shabbos, we're not just going to read Rosh Chodesh as an appendage. Oh, it's Rosh Chodesh, we have a Maftir. The reading of Rosh Chodesh and the reading of Shabbos on this week becomes an Ikar. Because there can only be one Ikar and one Tafel. If the Tafel is Chanukah, then the Ikar is going to be what we read the first seven aliyahs. What is that going to be comprised of? What are the Kriyos? The Parshas HaShavua and Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Thus, if this is the Ikar, they must occupy the seven Oilim. And if you are going to make Hoysafas and you're going to use up your seven Oilim in the Kriya Satorah of the Parashas HaShavua, there's nothing left for Rosh Chodesh. You batched up.
Why is that any different for the first Kiddush? We're going to Parashas HaShavua, right? And I call up seven people.
Because you don't have to learn the entire Parashas HaShavua.
So here you're combining, you're making...
Here it's two concepts. Here it's the Parashas HaShavua, which includes two separate... When it's one concept... One concept, you only have, as long as you learn even...
But without the Kaddish identifying that you ended the Iker until after the reading of Shabbos from Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, in the, you know, even though it's from a separate sefer, ironically, so why is that all suddenly saying, no, this is...
Because it's different.
Why isn't it one
when you
entire package of Iker, and you can take seven... or 10 from Parashas HaShavua Mikates, and you take whatever. As long as the Kaddish is not being said.
Forget about the Kaddish. That's a different element, the Kaddish. There's a requirement to call up.
Throw it out.
Shut it off.
Or go out.
There is a requirement to call up. There's a requirement. Rabbi Sai, please. Come on. There is a requirement to call up seven people for the Kriya Satorah. Okay? Those seven people that you're calling up for the Kriya Satorah must occupy the ikar of what you're reading. It does not have to occupy the entirety of the ikar, but it must occupy the ikar. Now, when the ikar is one concept, so you're good. If all you're doing is learning the Parashas HaShavua, you must call up seven people to read from the Parashas HaShavua. Do the seven people have to read the entire Parashas HaShavua? No! But the seven people must be reading from the Parashas HaShavua. When you have two different concepts, there is the Parashas HaShavua and there's Rosh Chodesh, then the seven people you call up must span both of these concepts at least partially. Do they have to lane the entire Parashas HaShavua? No. Do they have to lane the entire Rosh Chodesh? No. But the seven Kiruim must touch upon these two concepts, because these two concepts, the Shabbos, is the Ikar reading of the Torah. Now, practically speaking, the only way you can do that is for the seven people to occupy, to span both of these concepts, you'll have to lane only six Aliyahs of the Parashas HaShavua and one Aliyah from Rosh Chodesh. That way your seven Oilim are touching upon your two concepts. Theoretically, what you could do, if you want to make a Hoysafa, you make a Hoysafa in Rosh Chodesh.
So what if you go the other way? I call up five people from Parashas HaShavua, and I call two people from Shabbos from Rosh Chodesh.
That would be okay.
I can do that.
Theoretically speaking, yes. Yes. Theoretically speaking, in fact, it's one of the opinions that you should. I'm not sure exactly. Yes, theoretically speaking, what we're saying that would be valid. Theoretically speaking, there may be other considerations, but this principle, yes, correct, because you have to spin. There are seven oilim, and the seven oilim must read at least a portion of what are the ikarim. This Shabbos is very unique. We have two ikarim. The two ikarim are the Parashas HaShavua and Rosh Chodesh. You better make sure that your seven Oilim touch upon both of those Ikarim. The only way you can practically do that is to leave over at least one Aliyah for Rosh Chodesh. If you are going to make a Hoysafa, you've already used up the seven Oilim on the Parashas HaShavua. Now when you're going to learn from the second Ikar, which is Rosh Chodesh, he's a Hoysafa. He's not from the seven Oilim. So you've insulted the Ikar. You've downgraded, and therefore you can't make a Hoysafa in the parashas Hashavua. If you want to make a Hoysafa, you know where you make a Hoysafa? I don't know if you can do, you probably can do it, is you make the Hoysafa in the in Rosh Chodesh. Lane 6 Aliyos in the parashas Hashavua, and then you take out the Sefer Torah for Rosh Chodesh and make two Aliyos in Rosh Chodesh, or three Aliyos. You can make just like you make four aliyahs on a regular Rosh Chodesh. What? So lane, but in Rosh Chodesh we repeat psukim, right? On a regular Rosh Chodesh during the weekday, how many aliyahs do we lane? Four aliyahs. Four aliyahs. We repeat. Oh, so you repeat the you're saying very good. Okay, so then, but in the Rosh, so maybe you can make two aliyahs. You can break up the reading of Rosh Chodesh into two aliyahs. If you want to make the Hoysafas, you have to make the Hoysafas after you've already given the seven oilim a piece of the real action.
The example that Mr. Weiss just gave, Majitz, was they made an
akra. Oh, so then Majitz, they're not doing this. They're not following what I just told you.
Is the other svar?
No, the other svar is that the other Paiskim disagree with everything that I just told you. I am telling you this two sides. I told you, there's a machlokes apaiskim. What is the svara you can do with? The svara, you don't need a svara. It's a given. Are you allowed to make Hoysafas gesundheit? So make all the Hoysafas you want. What's the argument that this Shabbos you should go out of your way not to? Because there's another element, the Shabbos. This is an argument is that there are, in this Shabbos, there are two ikarim. And the Zayin Oilim must touch upon the two Ikarim. So if you want to make a Hoysafa, make the Hoysafa in the Rosh Chodesh portion.
No, but he's making an Akron in.
Because in Majitz, they don't hold of this Svara. They don't hold of it, period. They hold this, no, this whole thing is the Baba Mai said, I'm telling you. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you what the Paiskim say. Okay. These are the two Tzadim. These. Now, there's another argument that is made over here. In this Sefer, another argument why you should not be allowed to make Hoysafa this Shabbos, and that's because once you make seven aliyos, you conclude the seven aliyos, and you finish with the Sefer Torah, you're obligated to say Kaddish.
Oh, yes, before.
To say Kaddish. Now, what is our custom today? Today in our shuls, even the shuls today that are Majitz, they didn't say Kaddish after the first Sefer Torah.
No.
They made an Achron. Let's say in the first, if they made 15 aliyahs on the first Sefer Torah. And then they're finished with the first Sefer Torah. They put on the bima the second Sefer Torah. What do they do next? Hagba Glila on the first. Then they read from Rosh Chodesh. And then what do? They put the third Sefer Torah down, and then they say Chatzi Kaddish. Correct?
Yeah.
Correct, right?
Yeah.
That's what everyone does.
They never made any.
They make the Kaddish before you say. If you're going to go say Kaddish after the first Sefer Torah, you're in a lot of. It's going to really look strange, right? That's something you don't want to do. But the problem is, if you are going to make a Hoysafa this Shabbos, you're really obligated now to say the Chatzi Kaddish. Because once you fulfill what Chazal told you to do, to call up seven people, and you finish a Sefer Torah, that magic combination of Zayin Oilim upon one Sefer Torah demands that you recite Kaddish. And today, no one is willing to say Kaddish after you finish the first Sefer Torah. The minhag is you say Kaddish after you finish the second Sefer Torah. But if you're going to call up seven people to the first Sefer Torah, you have fulfilled what Chazal have told you to do on a regular Shabbos, to call up Zayin Oilim, and you also concluded the entire Sefer Torah, you're done with the Sefer Torah, that according to logic, according to Halacha, would require you now to recite the Chatzi Kaddish. And then you'll take out of the second Sefer Torah, you'll make another Chatzi Kaddish. You really would be required to say Chatzi Kaddish twice. So what's so bad? Okay, maybe you look by the Svardim, what he writes here, the Svardim, it is their custom to say Chatzi Kaddish to Shabbos three times. Okay, three times. After the first Sefer Torah, after the second Sefer Torah, and after the third Sefer Torah. That is not our minhag. Our minhag among Ashkenaz is to only say Chatzi Kaddish once. Where are you going to put the Chatzi Kaddish? If you only lane the six aliyos from the first Sefer Torah, you cannot say Chatzi Kaddish because you're not yet done. The Torah, the Halacha, demands that you have 7 oilim. If you only have 6 oilim in the first Sefer Torah, you can't say Chatzi Kaddish. So you have no choice but to read the 7th Aliyah from the second Sefer Torah. And then you'll say the Chatzi Kaddish. But if you're going to make a Hoysofa this Shabbos and call up 7 people or 8 or 9 people to the first Sefer Torah and now do a Hagba Galila on the first Sefer Torah, before you do the Hagba Galila on the first Sefer Torah, you should say Chatzi Kaddish because you're finished with what Chazal want from you. They want Zion Oilim. And you've already, you finished with the Zion Olam, you're putting away the Sefer Torah, you say, you have a problem, you have to also have another Aliyah for Shabbos, for Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so when you finish that, make another Chatzi Kaddish. But you today in a shul in Brooklyn are not going to be one to go down on the record that you have said Chatzi Kaddish twice. So the way to avoid that is make sure you don't have 7 Aliyahs in the first Sefer Torah.
So would Mr. Weiss, would it? If they make an achron on the second sefer, correct?
Yes.
They split it, they stop in the middle of the...
No, they didn't.
Sefer. No, they started with Yom HaShavuos and they finished after...
In Majritz, they had 7 aliyahs in the first Sefer Torah.
An achron is to call a kohen, another kohen or Levi.
They said after the second Sefer Torah. So obviously in Majritz, they don't hold of this. They don't hold of this whole thing.
Two kohanim. They can call one for achron.
In Majlis, they do not hold of both of these arguments. I'm not telling you what's right, what's wrong. I'm telling you what are the issues. Okay, what are the issues? I'm willing to bet that in most shuls in Flatbush who make Hoysofas on a regular Shabbos, I'm willing to bet they're going to make Hoysofas this Shabbos. And these two issues that I've told you, they don't hold off. They don't hold off. They don't hold off. I'm just telling you by looking into this inyan. You look into this inyan, and this is what the issues are. Where is your nafka mina? I'm assuming these become very relevant in a shul where most of the time they do not make hoysofas. There are many shuls like that. Ruba de ruba, 90% of the time, they do not make hoysofas. When there's a chiyuv, there's someone that needs another aliyah, Rabbi Sai, can we please... When someone needs an aliyah, so then occasionally they will make a hoysafa. In those type of shuls where it's rarely done, this Shabbos is not a good time to make a hoysafa. Since you ordinarily do not make hoysafas, and there are halachic issues with making a hoysafa on this particular Shabbos for the two reasons that we have presented, you are now disturbing the correctness of the Chatzi Kaddish. And reason number one is that being this Shabbos, we have the Maftar of Chanukah that automatically forces Rosh Chodesh to become part of the Ikur Kriya Satoira. And there are Zayin Oilim, and the Zayin Oilim have to span the Ikur Kriya Satoira. And if you're going to make a Hoysafa, then Rosh Chodesh will not get one of the Oilim will not be used for the Ikur Kriya Satoira. It's a problem. Now, if you want to say, I don't agree to this svara, which I can show you a long list of achronim that indeed do not agree, very good. And if every Shabbos you anyway make hoysafas, so continue doing what you ordinarily do. But if you want to go and you don't ordinarily do not make hoysafas, and this week you want to break the rules and make hoysafas, when you are aware that there are indeed issues, halachic issues, it would not necessarily appear to be a good week to start making hoysafas Shabbos when you have 3 Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Chanukah when there are 3 Sifrei Torah. So whatever happens in shul, keep your mouth shut. It's all good. It's all good. You can do it. It works. You can do it. But we've gone through the sugya. And we've uncovered 2 issues, which are cited by the Gedolei HaPoskim, 2 issues of why it could theoretically be an issue. And if you don't ordinarily do it, so why tip the boat? Why this week should be the first week to break the rules and make hoysafas? That was the halachic shail. Okay, let me do one more halacha and something new to me. I never thought it was an issue. It was a very interesting issue. Okay, Beis HaKnesses, there's a major sugya in the Hadlaka in lighting in the Beis HaKnesses. It's a tremendous chiddush. We light not just in the home, we also have a minhag that we light a Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. Why? It's clear as day. It's nowhere in the Gemara. In the Gemara, in the earliest sources, nowhere is there any indication whatsoever that you should be permitted to light a Chanukiah in the Beis HaKnesses with a bracha. Even to light. What? The halach in the Gemara is clear as day. Ner ish ubeisai. The persume nisa is for the bias. It is a family holiday. It is not a community holiday. It is not a public community holiday. There's no issue of lighting publicly. It is for the family. You light it by your bias, outside your home for the public. But the mokaim hadlaka is ner ish ubeisai. Mi pesach beisai mi bachutz. Nowhere does it say anywhere in the Gemara or any early source that you should light a Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses. How did this evolve? It evolved to the degree where we make a bracha, make three brachas. Shechyanu, how you talking such a thing? So the answer given, the only satisfactory answer that I ever saw given is that the only reason why we light in the Beis HaKnesses with the bracha is because the same reason why it's because we're lighting the menorah indoors by the window. In other words, today, at least in Chutz Liaretz and even in Eretz Yisrael to a degree, we light indoors. We are not fulfilling what it says to do in the Gemara. The Gemara, midin the Gemara, you are supposed to light your menorah mi pesach beitzoy mi bachutz, outside of your bias, for the public to see. Because it's shas hasakana, times of danger, or because of the weather conditions, or because of the practical considerations, we are unable to fulfill the mitzvah the way it was meant to be done. And some say you should not even attempt. We are in Golus. Golus is not where you belong. Don't get too comfortable in Golus. People who are lighting today, you see people they're lighting, you can go buy in the store. You can buy a box where you can put your menorah inside and you can go light your menorah outside your front door. There are many gedolim that say that it's wrong. Don't get comfortable in Golus. You don't belong here. You belong in Eretz Yisrael. If you want to light in a box outside your home, then pick yourself up and go make aliyah and light in Eretz Yisrael. Lighting your Chanukah menorah in a box outside your front door in America is kineged kol haTorah kula. Because it basically means that this is the new Yerushalayim. Flappish and Bar Park is the Naya Yerushalayim. It's not Yerushalayim. This is Golus. Don't get too comfortable here. The Goyim don't want you here. You're not welcome here. It's not where you belong. What? Okay, so I'm getting to that. So now let's explain. Let's explain what's going on now. So therefore, there are people who do this. Obviously, they disagree thoroughly with what I've just said. And they're Rabbonim, they're Gedol, who have boxes outside their home. And they put their silver menorah, and they light. Okay? But I'm telling you as a fact, there are many Gedol Yisrael who hold that it's mamish against the whole nature of Yadus. It's fundamentally wrong to do such a thing in Golus. You don't belong here. This is not the place to be mefarsim. It's not the place to be mefarsim the Ner Yishubesoy. Ner Yishubesoy is in Eretz Yisrael. Now let's explain. What was our original question? How then did we come to light the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses? The answer is because we are lighting indoors, Shas HaSakana, and the public is not seeing the menorah. Who's the public, by the way? The Goyim or Jews? Yeah. Jews. Yeah. Not necessarily Goyim. Some will say Goyim also. But before we deal with the Goyim, let's deal with us. It's primarily for the Jews. In order to compensate for this, that we are not lighting outdoors, we're lighting indoors, and we're lacking, there's an absence of Persume Milsa outdoors, we light in the Beis HaKnesses. The lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is making up for what we're not doing. Because we're not doing it correctly, we're not lighting it outdoors, we're lighting it indoors only for the family, and the people outdoors are not seeing it, we're missing an element of the mitzvah. So to recreate, to make up for what's absent, we light it in the Beis HaKnesses in public for all to see, where all the Jews come together to daven. And by extension, when there's a gathering of Jews, you go to some gathering, Chabad. That's what Chabad is all about. Chabad, by extension, takes what was supposed to be done outside, so we take it to the shul. The same way we take it to the shul, you can take it to anywhere where there are Jews that can see the menorah and can be inspired. Okay? It's making up, lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is making up for what should have been done as a basic element of the mitzvah, which would have a nafkamina, that in Eretz Yisrael, when there is no sakana, now there's the whole question, even there's a very big debate also in Eretz Yisrael. Mashiach didn't come yet, believe it or not. It didn't come yet, even in Eretz Yisrael. Is there an inyan in Eretz Yisrael to light the Chanukah menorah outside? It's not so simple. It's not so simple. Mitzad echad, yes, because here is our land. It's Admas Kodesh, so the answer is Ilchor, yes. But not everyone is so crazy about this. There are, even in Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach is not here yet. Eretz Yisrael is also in a matzav of sakana today. We're surrounded by enemies. It's not so simple. Not so simple that even in Eretz Yisrael today, there should be a requirement to light it, even if you can. You can, even if you should. And the chaluk ideas. Many people in Eretz Yisrael do light outside, and many don't. Because we're still living in times of galus. And the proof is because even those who are lighting outside in their shuls, in the Bote Kinyosios, are lighting in the Beis HaKnesses with a bracha. If it was fully restored to the way it was meant to be from original Takana, you would not light a Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. Certainly not with the bracha. Because the element of Persumei Milsa is fully fulfilled when you light your Chanukah menorah outside your home. If today in Eretz Yisrael they're still lighting in the Beis HaKnesses with the bracha, that basically means that the sakana is still there and there's no need to light outside. We're still making up what should be done outside. And no one is telling you there's no shul in the whole Eretz Yisrael where they're not making a bracha when you light the menorah. No such thing. That's Shulchan Aruch. You're lighting the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses with the bracha. That basically means that the takana to light outside is not in force. Because it's totally zebezeh. If you're going to light with the bracha in the Beis HaKnesses, you must light outside your home. If you're making the bracha in the Beis HaKnesses, it means you don't have to light outside. Because it's totally zebezeh. Now one prat, and this is the chiddush, the people who light in the Beis HaKnesses, they make three brachas. When they go home and light for their family, do they make the three brachas all over again? So I was always under the assumption, of course you do, of course. So he here, I have to look into this more, but Rabbi Mitzapi, he writes here very clearly, he says, the bracha lahalik ner shel Chanukah, certainly you make, no matter what. If you have even one other member in your home that's going to watch you light candles, you can make the bracha she'asa nisim. But if no one else is watching you light candles, and you're lighting it bizman, and you already made the bracha she'os and nisim la'vaseinu in the Beis HaKnesses, then you should not make the bracha she'os and nisim when you go home. Tremendous chiddush to me.
Can you make a
lahalik? Yes.
You can.
Yes, lahalik. Yes. So in other words, it's not a common scenario.
If there's no one there, who are you making lahalik?
Well, if you light it bizman, you still make the bracha. That's the halacha. The only time when you don't make the bracha is it's already late at night. It's way past shetich leregel min hashuk. If you come home at 12 o'clock at night, you cannot make a bracha unless there's one person at home that sees you light. But the people in the street, 12 o'clock, everyone's already gone. That's supposed to be, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? No one's supposed to be in the street at 12 o'clock at night, so you cannot make a bracha unless there's one person at home. So the bottom line is as follows. In a very unique situation where you have a person who's in shul, and they mechabed him to light the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. And he gets up and he lights the menorah, and he makes two brachas, or three brachas the first night. He makes the bracha lahalig ner shel Chanukah, and then he makes the bracha she'os anisim la'avaseinu, and then let's say the shechiyanu, and now he goes home, and it's early. It's early. It's not yet 10 o'clock. It's early, and on the normal circle, and there's no one home. He's all the bachur. He's all alone. No one lives at home with him. So under normal circumstances, you can make all three brachas, even though no one's home, because that's the halacha. You light bizman, even though no one's watching, you can make all three brachas. But now, even though it's bizman, since you already made the bracha, she'osa nisim lavaseinu bayim in shul, and now at home no one is taka watching, then he holds you should not make the bracha she'osa nisim. Once you already lit in the Beis HaKnesses, and you made the three blessings, or two blessings, when you come home and you light for your home, for yourself, your own personal fulfillment, you make the bracha lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, but the second blessing, she'os anisim lavaseinu bayomim morim bazman hazeh, that's not a bracha you make on the hadlaka, that's a bracha that you make on the acknowledgement of the miracle, and if there's no one at home that's going to participate in that bracha with you, and you already personally made that bracha when you were on with lining the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, you should not make that bracha a second time. That's a chiddush to me, it makes a lot of sense. What he's saying over here makes a lot of logical sense. I've never heard that or saw that before, but he writes this clearly, with black ink on white paper, and it makes a lot of sense, and it's obviously this is a Sifri Sifri Halacha, and
it's the same thing. They light the candles before Myra.
Why?
Before Myra, why not after
Myra? Nista, because it's already, first of all, it's already Shkia, that's the right time to light the candles. What is the Zman light, by the way, what is the correct time to Zman candles? The best time to light candles, according to most places, is about 15 to 20 minutes after sunset. After sunset, you wait 15 minutes, and that is the Zman of Halakas Neiros Chanukah is not a Zman of Shkia, of sunset. It's not like Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, you need Seis HaKoichon, the stars to come out. When you go to sleep, B'Shochvecha, when you lie down to go to sleep, you lie down when it's dark. Lighting Chanukah candles is Persume Nisa. What's Persume Nisa? When people come home from shul. If Chazal were alive today, you know when they were masaking by Chanukah candles? 5:30. Why 5:30 straight? Because the work day is, in the secular world, 9 to 5. Maybe today you'll tell me that it's a new world. People don't work 9 to 5, they work 24/7. Could very well be. They work at home, computers, it's a whole different world today. But let's go back 30 years. 30 years ago in the world, there was a general rule, 9 to 5. So when are people coming home? Approximately 5:30, 5:45. Okay, you have to make an average of where people live, where they work, Manhattan, Brooklyn, how much you travel. So make whatever it is, maybe it's 6 o'clock. Okay, figure it out. Figure out an average of Chazal would have made the takana to light Chanukah candles in the 20th century, it's clear as day, it would have been at approximately 6 o'clock. Because that's the time when the average fellow comes home from work. Okay, that was in the 20th century. 21st century, I don't know. But in Chazal, when they lived, it was basically after the sun set, as it was getting dark. As it was good, that's when people are walking home. They want to hop around and walk home before it gets pitch black dark. It's already getting dark. It's not a zman of sunset, of tzeis akachavim, 72 minutes, 90 minutes. It's a different zman. That is the ideal time to light the Chanukah menorah. Okay, we're going to stop over here, take a very short break, then we'll talk about donuts one more time. Oh, get everyone gets another donut today. Sure. Until Mincha.
Call me very nice, the woman. Does not make shachiyonah in the shul when she goes the reverse.
Because she already made shachiyonah when she lit candle.